This is Chris from Springfield, Illinois. I listen to Bullseye because regardless of who's on, I know it'll be sincere and funny.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This week, my guest is the one and only Christopher Lloyd. We'll talk about Back to the Future, Taxi, his new work, and his terrifying to children role as Judge Doom in Roger Rabbit. That's on the next Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Thursday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
It's the local edition, local news and information to keep you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania, right here on Radio Catskill, the place that keeps you connected. I'm Jason Dolan. I'm glad you're here with us to start the week. That's right. It's a local edition Monday. And coming up, we've got a conversation with Allison Dubois, Chief Operating Officer for Sun River Health. Spoke with Patricio Rubio earlier, getting an update on vaccines. I don't know if you heard the headlines there, but President Joe Biden saying today that within 3 weeks, 90% of Americans will be eligible for the vaccine. And Governor Cuomo's office announced in New York here this week that starting tomorrow, those 30 and over will be able to get vaccines, will be eligible. If you can find them. But they're getting easier to find as time goes on. So we'll be having that vaccine conversation coming up in the second half of the program. Right now, as we wrap up March, we're heading into April. April is Child Abuse Awareness Month. And it's time where folks raise public awareness of child abuse, neglect, promoting community involvement through activities that help support the cause. And one of the outfits that helps do that right here in Sullivan County is Sullivan County Healthy Families. Joining us on the phone right now, we have Pat Bennett, Program Manager for Sullivan County Healthy Families. Hello, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. And we also have Stacy Wiswer, Program Supervisor for Healthy Families, Sullivan County Healthy Families. How are you doing, Stacy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Well, thank you both for joining us. So let's start off by, if you could just explain what you do and what does the Healthy Families of Sullivan offer?
Okay, well, Healthy Families is a supportive parenting program in Sullivan County, whereas reducing child abuse and neglect by providing parenting as well as referrals to other services to any parent in the community. We provide virtual home visiting services right now with COVID. We're doing all virtual and some outside visits. We can help in a large variety of ways. But for the time being, I'd like to really talk about what's going on for Child Abuse Prevention Month. Thursday is April 1st, and it's Wear Blue in support of Prevent Child Abuse New York. And it's that shows your support to prevent child abuse and also raises awareness. There's also Pinwheels for Prevention for the month of April for preventing child abuse. And if anyone wants more information, they can go to PreventChildAbuseNewYork.org. Healthy Families Program, as I said, is a home visiting program for pregnant moms and babies all the way up to 5 years old or into preschool. We provide a number of activities during our visits, virtual, as like I said right now, but we are starting to do some outside visits like out in the yard or in the gazebo or on the porch or social distancing and also wearing masks. And we are providing developmental milestones for your child, letting you know that they are on target. And if need be, we can make referrals to early intervention program, which can help address any issues in the way of development. But it's also nice to be able to know what's coming so we can prepare you for the next stage of development and what you can do to help your child. We also do things like we screen for postmenopausal depression so we can help mom if she's just not feeling up to par. And we offer a lot of other services within our program. Stacy, you want to talk about other services that we offer?
We offer a Cribs for Kids program to ensure that you have a safe place for your baby to sleep when coming home from the hospital. We also offer a car seat program, and we do that anywhere from newborn up until booster seats. So as your child grows, you can, you know, contact us and we can help connect you with getting a larger car seat. We also offer breastfeeding support. We have two lactation counselors on our program, and they can help, you know, moms with any kind of breastfeeding support and questions that they may have.
Mothers can also call public health at the regular number, 845-292-5910, if they're in the need of any of those supports. Even if you're not in the Healthy Families program, you're still entitled to use of those programs. So the car seat program and the Cribs program, as well as the lactation consultants, are available as you need. Go ahead, Steve.
Great.
Well,
yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Not that I can think of.
Okay, so those are the other services that we order. Do you have any questions?
One of the things is if somebody suspects that there is child abuse going on, who should they report that to, and how?
There is an 800 number to report child abuse, the child abuse hotline, and the hotline number is 1-800-CHILDREN. And you can call that number if you suspect there any form of abuse or neglect is going on, and they will direct you to the proper authority. So, again, that helpline number is 1-800-CHILDREN.
Okay. And Stacy, do you have anything that's going on to raise awareness apart from like wearing blue and the pinwheels? Like, is there going to be any kind of events or talks or speakers or anything like that?
I don't believe so, but Pat would know more than I. I do know not only are we doing the pinwheels, but we're trying to put it throughout the county. In previous years, we've only put them up at the Department of Family Services complex in Liberty. But this year, due to obviously COVID going on, we want to now plant the gardens throughout the county so everybody can see them.
So the plan is to create pinwheel gardens in every local municipality within the county. In other words, Monticello, Liberty, Fallsburg,
Calicoon, Jeffersonville, Lock Sheldrake, Fallsburg.
So whenever you see a bright blue pinwheel garden, there'll be a sign explaining that it's for pinwheel for prevention for the month of April, and that's what it's for.
Okay, and it was near the beginning of what you were talking about, but wearing blue, is that just when exactly is that? Is that just one day, or is that like every Thursday?
Yes, it's one day. Wearing blue on April 1st in support of Prevent Child Abuse New York. So if everyone wears blue that's listening, wears blue on April 1st, get your picture out there, send it to our Facebook page, the county Facebook page, or to another site online. There's also a Prevent Child Abuse New York site that you can send your pictures to in support of their program.
How's Sullivan County Healthy Families been holding up during the pandemic? How is this, whenever I talk to any organization or individual, two general things.
It's been a little difficult, but we have readjusted our sales, and we are doing all virtual visits. And We're using platforms like Zoom, FaceTime, WhatsApp. So a lot of our families have smartphones, and so we're able to see them face-to-face by video chat.
Okay, great. And anything else you want folks to know?
You can contact Sullivan County Public Health if you're interested in a great supportive program for new moms and babies in Sullivan County. Even if you're not and you're in the need of something, we can refer you to the right agency for anything that you might need. So feel free to give us a call at Public Health at 845-292-5910.
That's 292-5910. And again, if you suspect any form of abuse or neglect, the 800 number is 800-CHILDREN. That's 800-CHILDREN.
Yes.
Is easy to remember. And I think there was a website earlier that you mentioned.
There is, preventchildabusenynewyork.org.
Okay, great. And Stacy, do you have anything else for us right now?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, that's great. Well, I want to thank you both for taking the time to talk to us, and good luck coming up here, and we'll keep it in mind that April is Child Abuse Awareness Month. Pat Bennett, Program Manager, Sullivan County Healthy Families, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right, and Stacy Wiswer, Program Supervisor of Healthy Families, Sullivan County, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. This is a local edition, local information, news, conversations, keeping you connected in Sullivan County and the Catskills. Coming up, we'll be talking about vaccines locally. Stay tuned for that.
This week on The Bioneers.
People were just organizing, stepping up and doing what they could. But in addition to the organizing that was happening, this meme started to spread. The love in the air is thicker than the smoke.
We hear on-the-ground stories from communities building resilience in the wake of grappling with serial disasters on Pioneers Radio.
Monday night at 10 on Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill, keeping you connected. To slow the spread of COVID-19, CDC recommends wearing cloth face coverings in public settings where social distancing measures are difficult to maintain. Cloth face coverings should fit snugly but comfortably against the side of the face, be secured with ties or ear loops, allow for breathing without restriction, be able to be laundered and machine dried without damage or change to shape. For more information, visit cdc.gov. WJFF Radio Catskill, your community radio station.
Welcome back to the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we learned that more people will be eligible to get the vaccine starting tomorrow. Those 30 years and older can get the vaccine starting at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning in New York State. Sun River Health is one of the clinics in the area that have been administering the vaccine, helping get the word out about its safety and its effectiveness. WJFF's Patricio Rubio spoke to the Chief Operating Officer for Sun River Health, Allison Dubois, earlier today on how they're handling the vaccine distribution. And Patricio starts off the conversation by asking Allison how many vaccines they've been able to administrate so far at Sun River Health.
We, this week, will exceed 48,000 vaccines across the entire system of Sun River Health.
Wow, that's a lot of vaccines.
We've been busy, for sure.
Yeah. Is it, I mean, it doesn't really matter because everyone's saying whichever vaccine you can get it. But is it the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine that you guys are mostly dealing with?
So actually, we've been very fortunate to have access to all three of them. And so wherever and whenever we can have access to vaccines, we put them to good use in the community and through special events. Just as we've been saying to everyone in the community and all of our patients, the best vaccine is the vaccine that you have access to. And we have, you know, fully embraced that ourselves as well. So we have been able to access some Moderna through state allocation. We have been able to access Pfizer through some state allocation to us. We now are in part of the way, and so we are taking advantage of everything that's made available to us and making it available to our patients in the community.
No, that's great. That's great. So yeah, like the whichever the best vaccine is the one that you could get. So now here in the area, we're seeing an uptick of cases. What has what is Sun River doing to sort of get the word out there and help people get vaccinated so they could be safe?
Sure. We're taking, you know, a multi-pronged approach in responding. And throughout the pandemic, we have been really doing testing in all of our health centers. We offer testing and education. So a key part of what our approach has been is focused on educating people about how COVID, how to protect themselves, you know, that there are a lot of strategies that individuals have. And we've been talking about that since March, and now we have an additional piece of our response, of our toolkit, and that is the vaccine. So we're encouraging people to utilize and wear masks. We have been distributing masks as well. We are encouraging people to be tested. We are encouraging people to maintain social distancing. We're trying to model that behavior in our health centers, and so we've rearranged what the health centers look like inside to maximize the distance between patients and trying to move people quickly into rooms in order to minimize that. And then knowing symptoms. So we're helping people by educating them about what are the typical symptoms so that they can be aware of that at home. And then we're also making telemedicine and remote care available by video, so that if individuals are concerned about symptoms, they can make an appointment. They don't have to come into the health center. We can see them remotely. That's another way to help minimize the spread as well. So, as I said, you know, taking every approach we can in terms of education, the public health measures, screening and testing, treatment for individuals. So if folks are coming in and they're concerned or they have other chronic conditions, we want to make sure they're talking to a clinician either in person or by televideo, and then really focusing on vaccination for any and everyone who's eligible.
Right. No, definitely. And recently, just a couple of hours ago, the eligibility looks like is going to expand.
Yes, we're excited about that. You know, that starts tomorrow as we got the press release, just as you did. And so we'll start offering vaccine for individuals over 30 starting tomorrow, according to the governor's new guidelines. All of the vaccine that we are able to access always follows the New York State guidelines. So when the governor makes an eligibility change, we're able to implement that as soon as the effective date goes live. And so we'll be looking forward to vaccinating individuals between 30 and 50 starting tomorrow.
Now, if someone is hearing this and says, hey, now that I'm eligible to get a vaccine, how can I get it? How can they get in contact with Sun River Health to get a vaccine?
So this is a great question. And again, every time we have an increase in eligibility, we have a moment where demand outstrips supply. And that's, you know, still going to be the case. And so we will be working as quickly as possible to make vaccine available. We are utilizing our website. There is a wait list on the website. We also, for existing patients, we're doing outreach when we have new criteria, new categories that are making folks eligible. And then we're also organizing special events. And when we organize a special event, we put those events and a link to them into the state system, the Am I Eligible, and through other online pieces. And we're coordinating very closely with our colleagues at the Department of Public Health. And so really trying to make sure we have, you know, a regional strategy. So the websites, the state and the county websites and the Sun River Health websites are still really the best resources for getting in line and finding out when events are or scheduling an appointment.
And I have your website as sunriver.org. Is that correct?
It sure is.
Now, would you know how long the waiting list is and how fast an appointment a person can get?
So that's variable by site. And so we still are encouraging folks to keep checking back and to also, you know, put as many options that they can make work. So, for example, on our website, we offer, we ask people to prioritize which sites are closest to them. So we do encourage people to connect to those efforts. It's still dependent on eligibility criteria. So, for example, it's hard to know in this current moment how many people on our list kind of put themselves on and were immediately eligible or were still waiting. So it still can be a few week process, for sure.
Well, this I'll ask because this was my experience, not with New York, for setting up my father with the vaccination in Florida. I had to wait for a certain day and a certain time, a day, a week to get an appointment. And that's when the, sort of the books sort of opened up and appointments were made available.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have some kind of system like that, that certain day that a certain amount of appointments open up in the website that people can get, or is just they should try every day?
You know, my advice really is to keep checking routinely, and that's because we can't open up appointments into the future because we don't get a guarantee that we will definitely have vaccines. And what we wouldn't want to do and what we don't want to do is to book people for appointments where we don't know for sure that you'll get the vaccine, because that creates, you know, just a tremendous amount of dissatisfaction. And so we open availability when we know we have the vaccine in hand. And that changes week to week. So we put our requests in each week, and then we hear a few days later from either the state or from the federal government how much we're going to receive. And it isn't always the same. And so I know that that's been, you know, a real source of frustration, I think, for lots of folks in the community. But I think the more people understand, you know, if we knew, for example, we were going to get 500 every week, then you could open that schedule into the future and really start to think about what that looks like. But because we don't have that guarantee, because it's not fully predictable, it's still, as soon as vaccine's available, the appointments become available. And that does happen to still change day to day and week to week. And until the vaccine sort of supply levels out, we're going to have a little bit of this situation.
Do you see the vaccine supply flow getting better or getting worse?
Oh, we see it getting much better. We were really fortunate as a federally qualified health center to be included in the in President Biden's vaccine response and his prioritization of health centers. So we were very, very pleased about that. So that created a new pipeline. We are participating and coordinating with other healthcare providers in the Hudson Valley region on a weekly basis. And so we are hearing about the state supply, slightly increasing and becoming a bit more predictable. So, I definitely think we are very much seeing an improvement and very much seeing greater volume and a little bit more predictability. So I'm looking forward to that continuing to improve.
Now, as far as where outreach goes, there is a need for it because people who are still hesitant to get it and, you know, think that it's not safe. Are you seeing any cases of side effects? Or there are some side effects that could be expected, like people feeling lethargic afterwards or a little feverish afterwards, but mm-hmm. that mostly mm-hmm. the reason they feel that way is because that's their immune system kicking in and starting to get work to build the antibodies.
You know, that was a perfect answer. We're going to put you on our next educational show because I think you are describing what we're seeing, which is that folks are having mild symptoms, very similar to what all the educational materials and what's been coming out of, you know, Dr. Fauci and everyone kind of across the board. We're very, you know, pleased that we have not had any significant adverse outcomes related to vaccination, and we're continuing to provide education in a lot of different ways because I think people need to hear it differently. We're doing some broader videos and messaging in the health centers. We have been sending out emails. We have been posting on our social media page. Our clinicians and our staff are talking to patients and participating in community events. We made a video of our staff and had them talk about the reasons that they're choosing to be vaccinated. And that's been one of the most effective things, I think, that we have been able to utilize, is because these are, you know, our staff come from the communities that we serve. And so, you know, when patients see clinicians and nurses and patient reps who look like them and who come from their communities and live down the block talk about why they're choosing to be vaccinated, it's been really powerful in helping people, you know, address some of their worries and their concerns. And we always, always encourage people to talk to their doctor, talk to their nurse practitioner about what they're thinking and about what they're worried about, because, you know, the one-on-one conversation has been very, very effective as well. And it can be really tailored to what specifically someone has worries about.
Right, definitely, definitely. To have that sort of personal connection and have someone you trust sort of explain to you the risks that you may take or the not the risks that you don't take.
Right. One of the things we're doing, too, is giving everyone who's vaccinated a sticker that says, I was vaccinated, ask me why. Because I think that's a really effective way, too. You know, if I see my uncle has a sticker and I didn't think he would be someone who was vaccinated and I can talk to him about it, you know, it's been, you know, a way of just encouraging conversation. And we think that that's important, too, for people to talk about their reason for getting vaccinated. And we've had lots of folks say they're going to save it, you know, it was a big moment for them, a real exciting part of, you know, their whole COVID experience, if you will, and hopefully the beginning of the end.
No, definitely. I mean, from the people we have interviewed and my personal experience of people I've seen getting vaccinated, the sense of relief they have and the joy they have that they could have some sense of freedom now that they have some protection there and they can move around more freely, you know, see their grandkids and see family members they haven't seen in a long time. So that's the biggest thing we see from a lot of people, or it's just the relief that now they have some kind of protection and freedom.
I think that's exactly right. And we are so excited to be helping people, you know, get to that space and reminding them that they should still wear their mask and that they still need to be careful. And if they can keep that reunion outdoors, that's a good strategy. You know, that we still want to keep up all those really good public health measures, but that we can take that worry down a little bit and help start to get us headed back towards normal. You know, that's really exciting.
Right. Oh, definitely. Anything else that we haven't touched on in this interview that you would like our listeners to know?
You know, I just want to say again, I think we're just encouraging everyone to talk to folks who've been vaccinated, to talk to their clinician, and to get in line for whatever vaccine is available and accessible to you. The soonest one is the best one for you.
Thank you so much, Alice and the boys, for talking to us. This is the Chief Operating Officer for Sun River Health. I do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. It was great chatting with you.
This is Patricia Robayo for WJFF Radio Catskill.
Latinos are 1.5 times more likely to not only get COVID, but die from COVID. African Americans are 2 times more likely. This vaccine is life-changing and life-saving.
Dr. Charisse Taylor, nurse practitioner of Wurtsboro. Hear her, Public Health Director Nancy McGraw, and others talk all about vaccines at the Sullivan County NAACP Forum, Get the Shot or Not, Wednesday night at 7 on Radio Catskill. And that's going to do it for the local edition tonight's news and information to keep you connected in Sullivan County in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm glad that you're here with us. I'm Jason Dole. Thanks so much to Patricio Rubio for that conversation. You want to stay tuned because coming up, we've got La Volce con Mario Fiore, followed by 51%. And we usually have This Way Out, the weekly LGBTQ news program, but it's the last Monday of the month, and that's when we check in with Outcasting, which is the youth LGBTQ show. So that's coming up tonight as well. And Unreserved at 9 o'clock. It's all still to come. Remember, if you missed any episode, if you missed any of this episode, make sure you never miss an episode of the Local Edition. Subscribe to it. It's a podcast wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast. Don't miss it. The local edition, wherever fine podcasts are casted. Okay.